is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. Harrisburg, Pennsylvania judge Sonia McKnight finds herself on the other side of the law, facing attempted murder charges, even trying to convince the victim he'd shot himself.
According to court documents, her ex-boyfriend Michael McCoy suddenly waking up in his Harrisburg home last weekend, screaming with massive head pain, unable to see. A bullet going through the right side of his face and out the left, leaving him with permanent vision loss in one eye. The Dauphin County magistrate judge, elected in 2016, was already suspended without pay in November for multiple pending violations.
ABC's Rena Roy. A freighter, the British-registered Ruby Mar, was hit by a missile in the strait connecting the Red Sea with the Gulf of Aden. The crew abandoned ship, the U.S. conducting new airstrikes. In Burnsville, Minnesota, two police and a paramedic were shot and killed by an armed man holed up in a house with several children. The kids are okay. The gunman is dead. This is ABC News. The Big Y grocery chain serving Massachusetts and Connecticut announced it discovered card skimmers at 11 stores installed before Christmas. The stores didn't get the money, and customers may have had their data compromised. A Big Y spokeswoman:
if we should find that somebody's information was compromised, we are going to obviously work with them to make sure they can protect themselves.
A big tech player says you should avoid the popular home remedy for a water damage device.
Many people who've had their electronic devices get wet have plunged them into a bag of rice, hoping they'll dry out. Tech experts have said this is mostly wishful thinking. It doesn't actually work. And Apple is now officially telling iPhone owners not to use a bag of rice because small bits of rice could get into the phone. Apple says try to hold the phone upright to drain water, and if that doesn't work, leave it in an area with good airflow for up to a day. Brian Clark, ABC News.
And I'm Richard Cantu, ABC News.
There's a small Wisconsin town where the population grows to 10 times its size every February.
Normally we're about 2,600 people during Berkey Week. That gets up to 20, 30,000.
That's Blair Flickinger with the Foundation for the American Birkebeiner. The skiing marathon started with a couple of people carving a trail between Hayward and Cable 50 years ago. It's also a tribute to the ski culture of another country already hosting its own Birkebeiner. Is it Turkey, Norway, or Germany? The answer coming up.
There's a camaraderie that comes along with this event that is unparalleled.
A camaraderie between people who come to Hayward from around the world.
Make everyone feel like Hayward is their spot for the week.
So did you guess the Berkey was created as a tribute to Norway's 100-year-old race? And while our Berkey is a well-known winter event, it's still growing by adding other races all throughout the year. There's a slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin is taking steps towards cracking down on sex trafficking. The State Assembly Thursday passed a package of bills that came out of the Speaker's task force on the problem. Republican Representative Rick Gundrum:
one of the reasons sex trafficking is thriving here in Wisconsin is because our current penalties are often less than the cost of the actual solicitation.
The task force was formed after the human rights group Shared Hope International gave Wisconsin a failing grade for its anti-trafficking laws. A new push to legalize medical marijuana in Wisconsin is going nowhere this year. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss tells reporters a Republican bill won't be taken up this session. Republicans disagree amongst themselves about whether the state should run medical marijuana dispensaries. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
The Bucks' Damian Lillard named All-Star MVP. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The East beat the West in the annual NBA All-Star game by a ridiculous final score of 211 to 186, a new all-time record high. Milwaukee's Damian Lillard becoming the first player to win both the three-point competition and MVP.
It's definitely one of those things where people are going to look at the game and say they don't play defense, and some people don't take the competition serious. But for me, it was just a break from the season and an opportunity for me to just be successful at something.
Baseball veterans reporting to Brewers spring training camp, including their new first baseman, Rhys Hoskins, who signed with the club after leaving the Phillies. A week later, the Brewers traded pitcher Corbin Burns to Baltimore. His reaction.
Anytime you lose a bona fide ace in this game, Corbin Burns, and he's really, really good, but, you know, an opportunity for some of the younger guys to step up.
That's Brewers first baseman, Rhys Hoskins. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For tonight, mostly cloudy, lows in the low 20s, partly sunny with a high near 45 on your Monday. For Monday night, mostly cloudy and a low of 29. Upper 40s to near 50 degrees on your Tuesday with lots of sunshine. For Wednesday, mostly sunny, highs in the mid-50s.
It's 21 right now.
Hey, everybody, it's Todd Alba, Monday noon to 3. Could you go all day without looking at your cell phone? We'll discuss on the Civic Media Ready Network.
This is the talk you can't ignore, even if you tried.
Why is everyone ignoring me?
Find out why all of lacrosse is talking about Eagle 1490.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Thank you so very much for joining us. Jane, Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvin, coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always call in or text at 844-967-2789. Leave a comment on live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and X Twitter. Very excited to be joined by our next guest. Wisconsin State Senator Mark Spreitzer is from Beloit. He's a member of the Wisconsin Senate, represents Wisconsin's 15th Senate District. He went into office in 2023, but before that served four terms in the State Assembly, and even before that was a member of the Beloit City Council. Senator Spreitzer, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Good morning, Jane. Thanks for having me on.
Well, we were talking a little bit before you joined about the maps and the maps that were approved by the Republican legislature on Tuesday, Governor Evers' maps, and I'm just wondering what you're hearing and what you're feeling about the future of this.
Yeah, so the bill that includes the maps is on the governor's desk. He's got until next Tuesday to either sign or veto it, and I know he's weighing all of the considerations, including any legal angles, before making that decision, and I certainly trust him to do that. I voted against the bill when it came through the state Senate, as did the majority of my fellow Democrats, for a couple of reasons. One is we don't trust Robin Voss. We don't trust the Republican leadership. And as they tend to do, they decided to bring forward the amendment containing the maps at the very last minute. So even though they had announced their plans the week before, we went into the weekend with no amendment for the public to look at, no amendment for us to look at. I'm the top Democrat on the committee that this bill was going through. Normally, you'd have a public hearing and then you'd have a committee vote and then it would come out of committee to the full Senate. Well, we had a public hearing on a totally different version of this bill. Then the bill got pulled out of our committee without a committee vote. And then the amendment with the maps didn't actually get introduced until we had already taken the floor in the Senate. And so it's, par for the course for Republicans in terms of process, but it's not the kind of process that gives you faith that this is how we should be doing it. It doesn't give the people of Wisconsin a chance to weigh in. And so to me, there's sort of two issues here. One is the map itself. And of course, this is one of four fair maps that are in front of the state Supreme Court. I would certainly trust the state Supreme Court to pick from among those four. And I don't really like that Republicans are cherry picking the one that they think maybe, gives them the chance to save the most seats. Certainly it's a fair map. Certainly if governor signs it, it is the one we will run on and we will go and do our best to win a majority on that map. But it wasn't a fair process. It wasn't how the process should work. And to me, fair maps is about the map, but it's also about the public weighing in and not politicians in a closed door room deciding what the map should be.
If I remember correctly, Senator Spreitzer, when they did have public hearings on fair maps, after hours and hours and hours of testimony, I don't believe there was one person who stood up for gerrymandering. And yet,
No.
After all that testimony, it was kind of like, yeah, well, that's nice. Thank you for sharing your feelings. Go away.
That's right. You know, the people of Wisconsin don't want gerrymandering, and ultimately we need to lock in a process through our state constitution that prevents future gerrymandering, that takes this out of the legislature's hands entirely. And that's why I really, you know, would have trusted the court to make this decision, because ultimately, even if this is the fair map we end up running on, to me, it should not be legislators picking it. It shouldn't be self-interested politicians taking into account whether they like or don't like their own district, or whether the speaker thinks he can or can't win a majority. That is not what this is about. It's about voters choosing their representatives in fair districts, not us choosing what the districts should look like so that we can get reelected. And, you know, the governor obviously has a different consideration. He's got that statewide view. And I trust him, you know, whether he signs or vetoes this, to do the right thing here. But, you know, I did not like the way that Robin Voss and Devin Lemieux, as the Republican leaders, were putting their thumb on the scale. And there's also a question here about they set this up so that these maps won't take effect until the November elections. And that is standard procedure, but this isn't a standard time. The current maps have been found unconstitutional by the state Supreme Court. And that leaves a question of, if these new maps don't go into effect till November, what are the maps between now and then? And we've got a special election that needs to be held for a Milwaukee-based state Senate seat for Lena Taylor's district. There's a recall effort against Robin Voss himself. We need clarity from the courts on what map those elections would be conducted on. And this bill didn't provide that clarity. And if Republicans would have just put out the amendment a couple days in advance for people to weigh in, we could have asked those questions and we could have gotten that clarity.
Well, and it seems to me like, I think it was just last week, not even 2 weeks ago, that they were talking about they wanted to subpoena the two people that were hired to put together these fair maps because they did not trust what they were doing. And then all of a sudden, as you said, Senator Spreitzer, that just all went away on Tuesday.
Yeah, that's the thing that's hard to really trust is, you know, are there ulterior motives here? What's going on? You know, the most straightforward thing is Republicans decided they wanted to control their own destiny because they thought that the court might, you know, the court could even draw its own map. And so, I think they looked at what was out there and said, let's lock something in that we think maybe is the least bad for us. But you have to ask whether there might be even something more than that going on. And that's why, you know, we voted no and wanted to give the governor time to really take a look at this and decide one way or the other what we think is going on here.
Well, and I've maintained, Senator, from the very beginning that Wisconsinites at ARC, we don't like people who cheat. We don't respect cheaters on either side, on any side. We just want a fair fight. We want it to be fair.
Exactly.
Senator Mark Spreitzer is our guest, and I'm very happy to have you on. Thank you for joining the show today. He represents Wisconsin's 15th Senate District. You came up, I saw this, you crossed on my Twitter feed the other day, about LRB 5749. Senator, this measure bans child marriage in Wisconsin and gives children currently married the ability to leave that marriage. I have to say, when I saw this on my Twitter feed, I was shocked that we still allow child marriage in Wisconsin.
Absolutely. I think most people are shocked. The good news is the numbers keep getting smaller pretty much every year. You know, we're down to a fairly small number of child marriages, but even one is too many. And when you look at the child marriages that we do have, there are real gender disparities where the majority of them appear to be underage girls, children marrying adult men. And so, you know, these are not your kind of Romeo and Juliet, you know, two 17-year-olds getting married. In most cases, this is a girl marrying an adult man and likely being coerced into that by her parents, because right now, you know, parents have to generally sign off on the marriage. You know, the question is, are children being forced into this? And once they are, right now under our law, a lot of our normal rules about statutory rape don't apply once you're married. And that's another thing we want to do in this bill is make absolutely clear that, you know, not only are child marriages not going to be valid and that we're going to give people a path out of them, but that, you know, this is not a license to have underage sexual activity with somebody just because you now claim that they're your spouse.
What age are we talking about, Senator? The ages of these girls?
16 and 17 year olds. They're in Wisconsin, 16 is the minimum age. Of course, they're somebody who moves here from another state that might have a lower age. You know, that's a different story as well. And, you know, we want to give that person a path out of their marriage. But in Wisconsin, we're talking about 16 and 17 year olds.
Does this also cover individuals who, like, if they got married at 16 and they're now like 21 and 22 and it's in a situation, can they use this law to cover themselves retroactively?
So we want to obviously any activity that has happened prior to the law passing that wasn't criminal, you can't go back and criminalize. But we want to make sure that it doesn't provide a license for, you know, for future activity that should be criminalized. And so unless both of the people were children when they entered into the marriage, this bill would apply the normal standard, which is that if the an adult over the age of 19 cannot have sexual activity with a, you know, with a minor, you know, we have existing things that if you have a 17-year-old, you know, dating an 18-year-old, that, you know, that doesn't become criminalized the moment somebody turns 18, but there's a reason we have a very tight age range there. And, you know, it's about protecting teenagers who are being teenagers, not protecting adults who are preying on children.
Yeah. I meant the clarification as far as not so much criminalizing, but like what you said is allowing them to get out of the situation. So giving them a pathway out.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, obviously many of these people are now adults and they may, you know, maybe in a happy marriage. So they certainly get to decide whether or not to stay married. But if you have people who are still under the age of 18, we want to make sure that they don't need their parents' consent to get a divorce. Gotcha. And we also want to make sure that they have options for an annulment. Normally our annulment options are fairly limited. But I think we would all agree that if you were a child, you really didn't have the ability to consent to that marriage.
Yes.
And consent is one of the foundations of annulment. If you didn't have consent, then you ought to be able to get an annulment if you'd like that instead of just a divorce.
If you're just joining us, Senator Mark Spreitzer is our guest. He represents Wisconsin's 15th Senate District, and we're talking about LRB 5749 that bans child marriage in Wisconsin and gives children currently married the means to get out of this. I'm curious, Senator, how was this issue brought to your attention? Did you hear from a particular advocacy group?
I first heard from a constituent in Greene County back, I think, in 2018, and I reached out to do a little research on this, and then it turns out that my colleague, Representative Jimmy Anderson, had done a bill to go ahead and ban this a couple sessions ago, so I signed on to that. And then more recently, last year, the Janesville Zonta Club made this a project, and they invited myself and Representative Sue Conley and Clinton Anderson in to be part of a panel and talk about legislative efforts to end child marriage with them and other Zonta clubs from around Wisconsin and Illinois. And so through that, we really decided to make a renewed push to get this legislation passed. And unfortunately, it's been somewhat of a partisan issue. Past bills have had one or two Republican co-sponsors. The current bill doesn't have any at the moment. And we actually had a Republican email us back to say that they would only support it if we also banned gender-affirming care for transgender people.
Senator Spreitzer, please stay with us. We have a couple more things that we would love to cover if you can spare us the time. Stay close, everyone. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Matt Nair on Air.
It's Black History Month, and Civic Media supports the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Calvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Our Echoes of Empowerment Black History Stories will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl.
Did you know there was a time when African Americans couldn't buy their own homes? In 1948, the Supreme Court ruled the ban on selling property to black buyers was unconstitutional. Yet black people still couldn't purchase homes in white neighborhoods. The Fair Housing Act in 1968 ended this type of discrimination. But there's still work to do. Today, only 40% of black populations own their own homes. Listen for another Black History story here on Civic Media. I'm Earl Ingram.
This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenhoff on the board, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. We are joined by Wisconsin State Senator Mark Spreitzer from Beloit. He serves Wisconsin's 15th Senate District, and we've been talking about LRB 5749 that would ban child marriage in Wisconsin and give children who are currently married the option to get out of it. And right before we had to go to break, Senator, you mentioned that now in order to get this to pass, some members of the opposite party want some quid pro quos.
That's right. We actually had Representative John Mocco, who represents the Green Bay area, send an email back at like 3 a.m. Saying that, yeah, never email at 3 a.m, but basically saying that he would sign on to the bill if we amended it to also ban gender affirming care for young people. So, you know, apparently we can't agree to protect children from child marriage unless we also agree to hurt transgender kids. And that's where my Republican colleagues are at the moment.
Well, and this is indicative of what is keeping this representative up at night. Not gun violence, not, you know, so many other issues that I think Wisconsinites could agree are more important than that. Yeah. And yet this is what this is what the focus is on. I think that's really tragic.
Exactly. So, you know, I hope my Republican colleagues will come around. We're certainly going to keep working on this issue because it's something we all ought to be able to agree on.
Yeah. Senator, when you talk to people on the other side of the aisle, I'm just curious how they square the parental rights and parents' rights, and parents have the right to, you know, decide what their kids read and where they go to school and everything else. But when it comes to a parent saying, my child needs this health care, then they're the experts, not the parents.
Yeah, I don't know how they square that. You know, we've certainly pointed out that hypocrisy at public hearings that have been held on Republican bills that would ban gender affirming care for minors. And we've had parents come in and testify and say, you know, I'm talking to my kids' doctors about the care they need. And, you know, please, politicians, butt out of that decision.
Well, and it's this, it's also the terrible misinformation and the scare of a 9-year-old can just walk into a doctor's office and say, I want to be a boy, and we're just going to whisk her into surgery. And when she comes out, her name is Charles. That isn't how it works. It's a much, much longer process involving numerous different aspects of the medical community.
Exactly. That is just not what happens. And, you know, I think a lot of my Republican colleagues just have gotten sensationalized and don't want to take the time to actually understand how this works and what life is like for transgender young people who, you know, just want to be able to get the health care that they need that is medically necessary.
You're much kinder than I am, Senator. I think they know and they just don't care. We're just going to move along. Senator Mark Spreitzer is our guest. He represents the 15th Senate District in Wisconsin. We had recently talked about the AB 541, the telehealth bill, and it was a bipartisan measure that did ultimately pass. But we did notice that you and several other Democrats did vote against this measure. And I'm curious, Senator, what was your decision making on that?
Yeah. So, you know, telehealth is incredibly important, and especially for things like mental health care, where people may not have somebody that is nearby that they can see and get in with in a timely manner. But the details are important, too. And we heard concerns from the National Association of Social Workers, Wisconsin chapter, from the National Alliance on Mental Illness, from the Wisconsin Association of Family and Children's Agencies, and the Wisconsin Department of Safety and Professional Services, which is who licenses mental health care providers. And we heard concerns that this bill didn't get the details right, that there weren't enough protections to make sure that people who are going to be able to provide telehealth under this bill were properly licensed and regulated, and that if they did something that would violate their license for somebody who was an in-person practitioner based here in Wisconsin, you know, that under this bill, we weren't necessarily going to have the same options to suspend them from practicing. And so this is something I think we just need to come back and look at whether there are ways to amend it to get it right. This kind of moved, unfortunately, I think quickly through a Senate committee where not all of the folks who had concerns were able to testify. And I think that's why you had some people for it and some against it. But as those concerns came to light, this wasn't a committee I was on, but I certainly take my cues on mental health issues from folks like social workers and NAMI. And if they've got concerns, I want to make sure we get those addressed.
So if I understand correctly, this is more about providing some additional oversight of these providers to make sure that people are getting high quality care. Is that accurate?
That's exactly right.
Excellent. Thank you so much for answering that question.
For clarifying that. Yeah.
That was something we had. It was a big question for us when we talked about it. So,
and I want to go back briefly because we only have a couple of minutes left of Senator Schweitzer, but other than wanting a quid pro quo about this child marriage bill, have you heard any other objections on why we shouldn't do this? And I'm also curious, were there specific cases that you heard about that you can share any details of? Because I have to think that it's child marriages seem to me like to be a religiously motivated thing.
Yeah, I think that is the case. We tried to get more precise data on exactly what the demographics are, and a lot of that data isn't collected. But I would guess that mostly we are talking about religious motivations, and I suspect that may be one of the reasons some of my Republican colleagues haven't gotten on board with banning it. But we aren't always able to track down the level of detail in the data that we would like. But we know these marriages are happening. We know how many are happening. And we know that disproportionately they're happening to girls.
Which is not a surprise.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it's really not.
And honestly, I'm not surprised that someone would be like, hey, I'll do this if you do this. I'm not shocked at all that there was somebody who wasn't full board on board with passing this. So, unfortunately.
Well, we really, really appreciate your efforts. And thank you so very much for joining us, Senator Schweitzer. And please keep us abreast for other legislation that you're working on. And you're welcome back to join us anytime.
Thank you so much for having me.
Senator Mark Schweitzer from Wisconsin's 15th District has been our guest. Stay close. We have weather coming up. When we return, we're talking about NATO with retired Brigadier General Steve Anderson. Keep it right here. This is Matt Nair on air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Show. You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. Harrisburg, Pennsylvania judge Sonia McKnight finds herself on the other side of the law, facing attempted murder charges, even trying to convince the victim he'd shot himself.
According to court documents, her ex-boyfriend Michael McCoy suddenly waking up in his Harrisburg home last weekend, screaming with massive head pain, unable to see. A bullet going through the right side of his face and out the left, leaving him with permanent vision loss in one eye. The Dauphin County magistrate judge, elected in 2016, was already suspended without pay in November for multiple pending violations.
ABC's Rena Roy. A freighter, the British-registered Ruby Mar, was hit by a missile in the strait connecting the Red Sea with the Gulf of Aden. The crew abandoned ship, the U.S. conducting new airstrikes. In Burnsville, Minnesota, two police and a paramedic were shot and killed by an armed man holed up in a house with several children. The kids are okay. The gunman is dead. This is ABC News.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Food and Drug Administration is recalling about 60 products made with contaminated milk. A nationwide outbreak of listeria is linked to cheese, yogurt, and sour cream made by Lizzo Lopez Foods and sold under over a dozen brand names. Two people are dead and two dozen people are in the hospital across the country. Wisconsin is moving closer to regulating artificial intelligence. One bill would study how AI could help address the worker shortage in state government. Republican Representative Nate Gustafson.
We want to take AI and then ultimately say, do we really need to find the additional bodies to fill the roles, or can we continue to leverage AI to its fullest capabilities?
Another bill would impose $1,000 fines on the makers of political advertisements who use deepfakes without disclaimers. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
The Todd Alba Show.
You look at Taylor Swift. She fought off the bitterness of defeat when she lost her records, when she was kind of duped by a manager. People who told her she'd never amount to anything. But it doesn't matter if you like her music or not. I'm a fan of anyone. Doesn't matter whether they're an artist or an athlete or just a common Jane or Joe. If you've overcome something in your life, you're a winner. If you've made it through, that's what it's all about.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For tonight, mostly cloudy, lows in the low 20s, partly sunny with a high near 45 on your Monday. For Monday night, mostly cloudy and a low of 29. Upper 40s to near 50 degrees on your Tuesday with lots of sunshine. For Wednesday, mostly sunny, highs in the mid-50s.
It's 21 right now.
You know, I hope this is the best hour of your life. I'll tell you that. The Cripes Cast, folks.
Comedian Mary Mack.
He's noticed a very sizable increase on people off the lake coming onto our lake to fish it. You don't want everything to be popular and known about. That seems to be the way I also approach my comedy, Charlie. I think there's a theme.
Cripes Cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
It's Black History Month, and Civic Media supports the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Calvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Our Echoes of Empowerment Black History Stories will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl.
You cannot talk about Black history without including some of the early music and art which flourished in the 1920s and 30s, time now called the Harlem Renaissance. But this new Black cultural identity was growing everywhere. Trumpet player Louis Armstrong moved to Chicago. Painter Henry Tanner was accepted into the Academy of Design. Musician Robert Johnson recorded the Delta Blues in Texas. Listen for another Black History story right here on Civic Media. I'm Earl Ingram.
Talk about La Crosse and Wisconsin without the yelling and screaming. These are real conversations about things that affect you. This is Eagle 1490.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Ten years have passed since people lived in fear and dread, when hope and independence died and dark aggression spread.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenhoff, coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. If you're listening in Madison on WMDX, thank you so very much for joining us. Really honored to have our next guest with us, and I think it is just so topical and so important. We're going to be talking about NATO. Why is NATO important? Why does the United States want to stay with NATO and stand with NATO? And in order to help us break all this down, we are joined by retired U.S. Army Brigadier General Steve Anderson. Good morning, sir. Thank you so much for being here.
Well, thank you, Jane. Great to be part of this.
This all came up because former President Donald Trump said recently that, and he threatened during his term, he wanted to withdraw from NATO. He talked about that quite a bit. And then I believe it was either earlier this week or last week, Donald Trump said this.
No, I would not protect you. In fact, I would encourage them to do whatever the hell they want. You got to pay. You got to pay your bills.
Donald Trump claiming that a president of a company asked him if the United States would defend them if they were attacked by Russia. And he essentially said, yeah, no. Steve, tell us, first of all, a little of the history of NATO.
Well, thanks, Jane. Well, look, it's been around for 75 years, and I don't think it's an underestimate to say that it has helped to make the world the incredible prosperity that the United States and all Americans have enjoyed over the last 75 years is due in no small measure to the success of the NATO alliance, the most important military alliance in the history of the world. I mean, they have, in order to develop an economy, in order to enjoy the quality of life that we have enjoyed over the last 75 years, it all starts with security. And security enables everything. All the economic development this country has happened, that has occurred, has to do and is related to our security situation. And the NATO alliance has helped to ensure that that has happened. And it has been a great, great partnership with our NATO friends. They have been there at our back for the last 75 years. They enabled the Cold War to end, to defeat Russia and the Soviet Union, that is, and break it all up. You know, and the way that they were able to do that, of course, is because we had the strength of this incredible military alliance. It was helped. We were able to develop our economy to the state that, you know, the Russians and the Soviet Union just simply couldn't keep up. And that's really how it happened. But there have been time and again when NATO has been there with us. I mean, everybody knows about Article 5. Okay, that's, you know, essentially what it requires when one member state gets attacked, that all the other members of the state come to their defense.
Right.
The only implementation of Article 5 in the history of NATO was the United States. That was for 9/11. And consequently, the other 31 members, or at the time it wasn't 31 members, but and for the next 20 years, our European allies supported us through thick and thin, through everything that transpired in Iraq and Afghanistan. They spent hundreds of billions of dollars, just like we did. And they shed a lot of blood over there. So, I mean, they supported us through all that, you know, and they were there with us with Desert Storm. They were there with us in Bosnia. They supported the Kosovo intervention. The Gulf of Aden anti-piracy activities was a NATO military intervention. The Libyan intervention in 2011, the Syrian civil war. I mean, I can go on and on. This alliance has set the conditions for an incredible amount of economic development and prosperity for all Americans. And for a former president to insinuate that we would quit NATO because he thinks that we aren't paying our dues, or some members aren't paying our dues. Listen, Donald Trump, this is not a country club, okay? This is not, you don't pay your dues, you don't get to play golf anymore. This is far more important than that. The requirement has been that all the members try to contribute 2% of their GDP to military development and military spending. And by and large, they have done that. Now, do they do it to the extent that the United States has done it, or maybe Germany or the UK? Perhaps not. But we do have the largest economy in the world, again, empowered because I think great part to the for the NATO alliance. But it's you know, for us to assume that other people can contribute to the same level that we can is pretty preposterous. So his comments were incredibly ignorant and incredibly stupid because they failed to realize the relationship, the economic and political military implications of the greatest military alliance in the history of the world that NATO has empowered.
I'm so glad you made the comparison about a country club, because that was exactly my thought when he said that. It's like, this isn't, you don't pay dues.
It's not Mar-a-Lago.
And then there's no Bank of NATO either. Yeah. What are you talking about?
Yeah, I mean, it's insane. And it just shows his profound ignorance and stupidity, really. I mean, and this is, let me, Jane, this is hard for me to say, because I'm a Republican, okay? I'm a Bush Republican. I was a Ronald Reagan Republican. You know, now I proudly call myself a rhino, you know, because I don't have anything to do. You know, when Donald Trump came on the scene and said, what are we doing? I mean, I used to watch Bill O'Reilly religiously, like, you know, and Fox News, the whole thing. I was in all the way. And then I realized, what is the Republican Party doing? And you know, since 2015, I mean, when we endorsed this guy, and to watch people like Lindsey Graham,
yes,
whom I served with, I mean, the incredible cowardice of that man. He's a great guy. He's a smart guy. He's an incredibly capable guy. I mean, he's been a senator for, you know, for 20 years or so. I served with him in Iraq when he was doing his reserve training over there. I mean, he incredible. I mean, Marco Rubio. I mean, even Ted Cruz. I mean, these are smart, capable people. Josh Hawley. These are well-educated Yale, you know, Ivy League. They know better. But yet to watch them, you know, for Donald Trump to say something, I mean, that's one thing. But then the cowardice of all the Republicans sit on their hands and don't do a thing to challenge this is absolutely insane.
I swear, it was one golf game. Lindsey Graham had one golf game with Donald Trump, and he completely flipped. Completely.
Completely. I mean, if you look at what he said during the campaign, you know, he said that Donald Trump was totally unfit to be president.
And we will be destroyed.
Yeah.
We will be destroyed. And guess what? You know, his words, you know, it's almost prophetic, some of the things that he said.
If you were just
but the reason that is going to happen, if it could happen, is because of the cowards like Lindsey Graham, Josh Hawley, Ted Cruz, and all the others that have lined up to kiss the ring. You know, it's just insane. And again, this is a conservative Republican that's talking this. This is not, I'm not some wild liberal. I served 31 years in the United States Army, you know, and public service has been my entire life. You know, I've been and since I retired, I've been a contractor. I served in Iraq and Afghanistan for 2 years. I've had men that work for me in Afghanistan killed. I mean, the whole thing. But, you know, Donald Trump and everything that he stands for and the people that support him are just they just don't understand what makes this country great. Not the least of which is understanding the importance of the NATO alliance.
If you are just joining us, our special guest is retired U.S. Army Brigadier General Steve Anderson, and we are talking about the importance of NATO. And I found this article this morning, Steve. Retired Lieutenant General Ben Hodges, when talking about Trump and what he said about withdrawing from NATO, quote, "Trump hates alliances. He hates an obligation where he'd have to live up to something. Mafia type that he is, he doesn't want anybody restricting his options. He couldn't care less about moral obligations. He is willing to chuck the whole thing away."
Well, Ben is a good friend of mine, and I completely endorse every word that he says. He's spot on. I mean, he was a former USSR commander of U.S. forces in Europe, you know, and he understands that domain. He still lives over there, actually. But I mean, he's spot on. I mean, absolutely. Donald Trump he wants to break down institutions. He wants, because they threaten him, anything that threatens him. So an alliance like NATO could potentially, these are people that could gang up on him. I want to destroy that. You know, the United States military, he'd like to see that shut down. Department of Justice, Department of the Interior. I mean, you could go on and on. Every institution, you know, that is out there that could possibly challenge his authority, he wants to see destroyed. to include the United States Constitution, by the way. I mean, that's really what that's really what his ultimate goal is. And God help us if he ever gets reelected, because that's exactly the first thing he's going to try to do, you know, which is so sad. And again, Jane, I keep saying this. I mean, this is not some left wing wacko out there. I am a very conservative guy. I've always been that. You know, I've supported all the Republican Party, all the platforms, strong national defense, less taxes, you know, strong economic development in enabling business to succeed, and all those kind of things. But there's no vestiges of that anymore. It's all about subservient to Donald Trump. There's no platform. There's no real party ethics. It's just, what can we do to get this man and stay in power?
And it's a platform of retribution. It really is. If the United States would pull out of NATO, who would throw the biggest party? I'm pretty sure I know the right answer.
Oh, Vladimir Putin. I mean, this is just right out of his playbook, you know, and how Donald Trump is enamored with these dictators out there, you know, in Korea, you know, in
China,
in Hungary, Viktor Orban,
yep.
You know, and then, you know, Vladimir Putin. I mean, and you know, it's just so sad because NATO has been a strong supporter of Ukraine. People don't realize if Ukraine falls, that fundamentally changes the world order.
Yes.
The prosperities that Americans enjoy today, you know, now the people that support Trump they have a list of grievances and, you know, and all these things that they want to see. They want to see things shaken up and all. I get it. My own father, you know, 95 years old, who just passed away, I used to argue with him because he was a Trump guy. And he says, you know, but they don't realize if these institutions go away, if foundations like our alliance with NATO goes away, our world is going to change in ways that we can just only imagine right now. The prosperity, the list of things that the Trump base complains about will triple because this, you know, there's so much that's going to fail, and there's so much going to fundamentally change in the world order. I mean, right now we have a position of leadership in the world. We need to continue to use that, dominate the world in a way in which we're helping people. In the Biden administration, God bless them, they've done a great job of building on the U.S. NATO alliance. You know, we just added Finland to NATO.
Right.
Sweden is right behind them.
Which terrifies which terrifies Putin, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the last thing he wants to see, you know, and it shows really how his plan in Ukraine has fundamentally backfired, because it's actually all the things that he wanted to happen in just reverse. I mean, he wanted to break down the NATO alliance, and instead his attack on the sovereign domain of the Ukraine has strengthened NATO. NATO's never been stronger. They've got 40,000 troops now stationed in Poland, Romania, Slovakia, you know, et cetera, poised to help, you know, defend. But I mean, you know, we've heard, you know, the Tucker Carlson interview last week, you know, Vladimir Putin talked about Poland like 30 times. I mean, you know, if Ukraine falls, it's going to be, you know, he'll be setting his sights on Poland and other places. And again, like I said, the fundamental world order, the prosperity that we Americans enjoy today will change dramatically in the wrong direction.
We are going to continue this conversation with retired U.S. Admiral Brigadier General Steve Anderson. We are talking about NATO and why it's so important for the United States to remain tight with our allies. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Now we got the long version. How do we do that? We'll give it a rundown on the long version once. Well, then, here we go. Are you rolling? Hot? Go.
Ten years have passed since people lived in fear and dread. When hope and independence died and dark aggression spread. Then NATO went on guard and freemen ceased to yield. We live again in peace and strength behind the NATO shield. We live again in peace and strength behind the NATO shield.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
It's Black History Month, and Civic Media supports the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Calvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Our Echoes of Empowerment Black History Stories will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl.
You cannot talk about Black history without including some of the early music and art which flourished in the 1920s and 30s. Time now called the Harlem Renaissance. But this new Black cultural identity was growing everywhere. Trumpet player Louis Armstrong moved to Chicago. Painter Henry Tanner was accepted into the Academy of Design. Musician Robert Johnson recorded the Delta Blues in Texas. Listen for another Black History story right here on Civic Media. I'm Earl Ingram.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Calvin, all coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. Thank you so very much for joining us. Really honored to have our guest here, retired U.S. Army Brigadier General Steve Anderson. And we have been talking about NATO and the importance of NATO. And the biggest gift for Vladimir Putin would be for the U.S. to pull out of NATO.
Yeah. And, you know, speaking of Putin, this just came across the breaking news. President Biden has formally stated that he believes Putin is responsible for Navalny's death.
Alexei Navalny.
I'm like, yeah. So the question I had for you, sir, was, you know, I'm young enough to remember the 80s as far as those last days of being afraid of Russia, seeing the fall of the Communist Party, seeing the 90s, and then seeing Vladimir Putin take over. And it always seemed like, you know, when they wanted to reform and have more democratic processes, we were on board, we were with them, we were supportive. And then as Putin came along, we were like, this isn't right. As a country, we felt this isn't right. And I have to wonder, from your point of view, to see people like, as you mentioned, Tucker Carlson, seeing the former president cozying up with these individuals and frankly influencing a lot of people to say, oh, Putin is wonderful. He's great. He's doing all the right things. For everything you've done for this country, for all that you've fought, for all the things that you've sacrificed, what does that do for you? How does that make you feel to see such power cozying up with such
evil?
Well, Calvin, it disgusts me. It really does. I mean, you know, I mean, I think Tucker Carlson is a despicable person. For him to do that, I mean, Ronald Reagan is turning over in his grave. I mean, you know, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall. I mean, that is so. We're at the other end of the spectrum now. I mean, yeah. You know, Tucker Carlson and Donald Trump apparently want us to go back to isolationist days, in which all we do is sit, you know, behind, you know, in the comfort of being 3,000 miles away from the European potential battlefield. And, you know, and be ignorant of what's going on. But that's not the way the world is now. This is a global economy. Everything's connected, everything. And, you know, we've got to stand up to tyrants like Vladimir Putin. You know, as democracy has developed over the last hundreds of years, you know, quality of life throughout the world has improved. And why is that? Because we're giving power to the people. They have greater control of their own destiny. And that is, you know, that's what's been enabled by the power of democracy all over the world. And so we got to stand up to autocracy. We've got to stand up to tyrants like Vladimir Putin. We do not need to get in bed with them. And when I watch a guy like Tucker Carlson, with all his ability to influence so many people, you know, with the millions of viewers that he has, his ability to essentially set conditions for Vladimir Putin to achieve his objectives in Europe and ultimately with the United States, it really is reprehensible.
I can't even imagine for so many people like you who have spent your life in service to this country and then to see things like this happening, it has to be absolutely surreal to even wrap your head around it. And I think it's important that people understand, too, that Vladimir Putin doesn't love Donald Trump because he thinks he's so great. Vladimir Putin loves Donald Trump because Vladimir Putin hates America.
Well, that's true. And Vladimir Putin, he sees Donald Trump as an easy mark. Mm-mm. You know, he knows all he has to do is coddle up to him, say some nice things about him, you know, stroke his ego. He'll get whatever he wants.
Yep.
You know, and it's really sad that you know, Donald Trump is insanely stupid to not see that. But that's exactly what we have, and that's what he is. And you know, we cannot let. We've got to stand up to Vladimir Putin. We've got to support the Ukrainians. We've got to give them all the aid that they need to do that. They've inspired the world with the way they fought the Russians, you know, heavily outnumbered and whatnot. But we're at a very, very dangerous point now. It's turned into essentially a stalemate. And you know, we need to continue to support the Ukrainians because the Russians seem to be getting a little bit stronger, actually. And you know, they are absolutely vitally dependent upon American support. And we need to make sure we provide it to them.
Well, and tragically, I want to say it was last week that Wisconsin Senior Senator Ron Johnson essentially said that Vladimir Putin can't lose. He's not going to lose. So we should, what, just give them Ukraine and then let him go into Poland and just keep heading across Western Europe?
I mean, he's right up there with the pillow guy in terms of the intelligence. You know, Ron Johnson is an absolute moron. And, you know, and he'll say anything he can to suck up to the base. And it's so sad, you know, to hear something like that. But yeah, he doesn't understand anything, you know, and, you know, you've got to stand up when you see a tyrant like that. You've got to put your foot down. We have to have principles. And that's what's made this country great. We need to continue to support those principles. And we got to respect the autonomy of a country like Ukraine and be outraged when it is violated. You know, we can and we cannot stand by. And again, you know, we used to say, strength through power. You know, now we're saying, you know, surrender through appeasement. Yeah. You know, that's really what Ron Johnson wants. Surrender through appeasement.
Yeah.
You know, let's give them what they want and then we'll stand down. You know, he doesn't realize, though, that it's a long play, that if we lose there. OK, if we fail to provide, you know, the $50 billion aid package, whatever they're asking for now. Oh, by the way, reminder, in Iraq and Afghanistan, we're spending $300 million a day. $300 million a day. Okay, just keep that in perspective. But if we fail now, you know, it's a pay me now or pay me later situation. We're going to spend 10 times what we're spending right now to support the Ukrainians, 10 times to try to fix the mess that would be required, that would be created if Vladimir Putin gets his way in Ukraine. You know, we're going to have to redeploy Americans back. I mean, we used to have 400,000 Americans. And when I was a young lieutenant on the Czechoslovakian border with my tank platoon in 1979, and they told me my life expectancy was about 30 minutes, by the way.
Wow.
If it actually happened. But that's okay. But you know, those days are gone. And we went from 400,000 to less than 100,000 now. You know, we used to have these huge deployment exercises. We're bringing everything over there. We used to have 5,000 tanks that were stored in Germany. You know, 5,000. You know how many are left? Zero.
I'm so sorry to have to. I'm so sorry to have to cut you off. We are up against the wall. Retired U.S. Brigadier General from the Army, Steve Anderson, has been our guest. Thank you so very much for this really important half hour. And thank you so very, very much for your service. Stay right
here.
You're listening to Civic Media Radio Network. News is next.
Broadcasting from the Eagle's Nest.
With everything lacrosse is talking about.
You're soaring with Eagle 1490. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin.
Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website.
Soaring high above La Crosse. This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.